Texans Training Camp. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studio, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the news of the day, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. C.J. Gardner-Johnson was injured today with an apparent knee injury. He was carted off, was not able to put any pressure on that knee.
No, God!
Yeah, wasn't a good look at all. Reports were it was very, very quiet. Players took a knee. And it was a pretty lengthy stoppage and unable to put any kind of weight on that at all. Did not look good. We heard from D'Amico Ryans. He didn't have anything in terms of an update at the time. He spoke to the media after practice. We will hear in about 35, 40 minutes from now, we will hear from Sean Pendergast, who was out there and saw it all, kind of saw a lot of the aftermath of it. We'll get his thoughts and everything that he was able to see coming up at 3:40 as he joins us from West Virginia. But a really tough situation, Clint. Again, we don't know exactly what the outcome of this is. Does not look good. It looks like he may miss some time, Clint. Not sure what it will be. But a tough thing and something, you know, coaches and everybody in the back of their minds, they want to get work done, but they want to avoid this kind of thing, to have an injury to a starter, an important starter for this team. So
we don't like that.
It is a tough day in that locker room for them.
Yeah, look, it's a tough day. There's no doubt. I mean, this is a guy that comes in and brings a Super Bowl mindset. Which I think everybody in the room can respect. I mean, one way to garner respect, the quickest way to garner respect in a locker room, especially a locker room that's a 10-win team that has some alphas in that room, that has been a playoff team, one way is to win a Super Bowl and come walking in that locker room next year. You're the one that's done what everybody else in the room wants to do. And so, yeah, I think there was an immediate response to C.J. Gardner-Johnson being a Texan. There was an immediate amount of respect, and I think he was immediately given put in a spot of leadership, and the expectations that came with that were to help this team take the next step, and I think that was very real with the acquisition of C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and I don't think he had disappointed. No. He was out there working his ass off. He was making plays. He was being himself. He was setting the tone. He was one of the more vocal players out there. And so, this is a painful, it hurts to see anybody get hurt. I mean, it really does. It sucks to see anybody get hurt. But when it's a guy that's one of the more vocal players that was brought in specifically to help you get over the hump and become a championship contender, it hurts even more. So, just hope and pray that the results of the MRI, the results of the injury report that we get is something where he can come back at some point sooner rather than later and help this team, and it's not a season-ending injury.
Yeah, I think for me, and you know this better than I do, Clint, the thing for me is when you see how a player reacts and, like, their immediate reaction, you can see the concern and, he immediately – reports were that he was banging his fist on the turf and on his stomach before he rolled over. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times athletes, these guys kind of know. They kind of know that this isn't just an ankle roll. This could be something serious. And by reports, it seemed like that may have been his reaction as well. So hopefully, as you said, this is more of a Grugier Hill situation where he was scared, more scared with the knee issue than it was serious. But he was carted off, unable to put weight on that. So that is the big news of the day. If you're just jumping in, some of you may be getting off work here at 3:00. That is the top story of the day. All right, the other CJ, reports out, had maybe like a 50% completion day, up and down, very similar to what his training camp has been like. Some good, some bad. I feel like overall it seemed like the offense was more, you know, solid today. Not just they held their own at times, and got some given to them, and then was able to give some back to the defense. So a more competitive day from the offense today. But I was listening to CJ talk yesterday to the media, and it really brought up something that you have been talking about, which may be the biggest challenge of this season for the Texans and CJ Stroud. This was CJ Stroud responding to kind of how hard it is to take lessons when the defense is dominating the way they have at times during training camp.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, like, it's the difference. It's the balance between being competitor and then being, like, you know, falling in love with the process and not the progress and not, like, the result in the moment. Sometimes you can throw a ball and it'd be look like a bad ball, but bad communication between, you know, myself and the receiver. So that's just, like, one point of emphasis on, you know, like, having to work through those kinks, because that's what comes in with, like, a newer scheme. So, but, yeah, other than that, like, you know, you still don't want to be turning the ball over or, you know, like, see bad plays. But I think we've gotten past that part in camp. And, you know, now it's just, like, more competitive on both sides. And but, yeah, you got to be able to still compete and, like, hold yourself to a standard that you're not going to, you know, make mistakes. But when those things happen, learning from them and just having that balance.
All right, that's CJ Stroud talking about it yesterday. And you said this last week, I believe. This is going to be the challenge for CJ Stroud. Is how is he going to be able – and I think we're going to learn a lot from CJ. How is he going to be able to handle – the potential frustrations that are going to come? Because Clint, I don't know if we know exactly what this offense is going to be, but I'd be willing to bet, Clint, at least early, it's not just going to fit like a glove, and it's not going to just come easy to them. Like, I think Jared Goff and what they do in Detroit, I feel like they walk out there and it comes easier to them than maybe some offenses. I don't think that it's going to be that way, at least early, for the Texans. And I think you hit the nail on the head last week. That is going to be something that he is going to have to handle, and a challenge that he hasn't had.
Yeah, look, I think it's, for me, I've said it a million times, last year the theme of for me in camp and ultimately what bleeds over into the season is, you know, how was CJ going to handle and juggle that difference between playing that boring Brady ball and then this new aggressive down the field attack and stretch the field approach they had last year? That was the thing. The theme this year is how does CJ Stroud handle all the adversities and frustrations that come with installing a new offense and continue to look at it and continue to grow in a positive direction and not get frustrated and not get overwhelmed with, man, the pocket just keeps collapsing. Not get, you know, discouraged when, you know, you throw two picks in a practice kind of deal and you have a run of practice where, man, 4 days in a row, the defense gets the best of you. You know, how does CJ...
things ain't going the way you want it to be going.
Right, because what CJ, like, you really, they're not just installing a new offense. I mean, CJ, for the first time, is taking complete control of the line of scrimmage. So, and he's doing so speaking a foreign language. He's doing so, you know, with probably a lot of initial second guessing of himself and his decisions. And, like, how does CJ handle that level of frustration, that level of adversity? I would love for this to have been my problem, so don't take this as a negative, but this is the first time that we've seen CJ Stroud in a situation, Ron, where he didn't walk in the door every day with better players than the opponent. Like, he's walking in.
You think even different from year one here?
Well, yeah, because I'm referring to the defense. Like, year one, he wasn't going out there every day and you know, we didn't know who was who and what was what. Right now, he's going out there every day, tasked with installing this offense and having a bigger voice to the line of scrimmage and taking more control and not getting the results that he wants. And guess what? He's going against a championship caliber defense. He's got a first-time play caller. Right, he's got a running back that's seen a lot, but's coming off another injury. He's got Nico Collins and a bunch of other guys, and he's got an offensive line that was overhauled. They didn't spend any money while they did it, right? So this is the first time I think in CJ's career where, hey man, you got to go out there and do more with less. You know, and by the way, you got to do more with less than that. Them guys on the sides, a championship caliber defense. We have not seen C.J. Stroud in that kind of in that kind of environment day in, day out. So really, how does he handle it? How does he? And he, and look, C.J., as far as we are concerned and the fan base is concerned, C.J. is going to do and say the right things. And in fact, I criticize C.J. because I believe he does and says the right things too often. At some point in time, throw your helmet and get disgusted
but,
with
but
it.
But does right? that but does that potentially happen though? Like, does that
potentially?
Do we
we'll
get
see.
To a space where
well,
he it
right?
You know, he
well,
blows a gasket.
Look, I would bet a large sum of money that we never see that from C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
But I do believe that that is the reality of the environment. Is he's going out there every day with a huge responsibility and a big time task laid at his feet. And he goes out there every day and has to deal with guys going 1,000 miles an hour in helmets and sweats. And he goes out there every day with these new blitzes and these new coverages and rolling this and rolling that. And he's like, man, I'm just trying to learn this three receiver concept that we got called and how to read it. And these guys are throwing exotic coverages at. Like, how do you handle that? And I just believe it, for me personally, I believe it's a first time because from a sports standpoint, I'm not saying CJ's never been through adversity in his life. Everybody relax. I know, I understand he has. I'm talking sports adversity. It's the first time he's ever walked out there with lesser than and had to work in an uphill fashion, if you will, in every sense of the word, schematically, right, roster-wise, talent-wise, he's having to work uphill every single day. How does he handle that? That's going to determine what this – I'll tell you this, it's going to determine how quickly this offense becomes a factor in the season, right? I mean, you hope like hell, and I think they're going to refrain from being an absolute negative factor and a problem, but how quickly do we see a team under C.J. Stroud with this group and Nick Caley that can go out there and beat Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Bucks in a shootout? When do you got to have that in your game? You got to have that in your toolbox. At what point is that possible with this group? And that's just one example, right? That's what CJ's up against here.
Someone texted in, how is this different from what he had to face last year?
Well, he wasn't installing a new offense.
And
last year.
Like he was every way almost possible.
He wasn't installing a new offense. He was running an offense that he just run rookie of the year with and led the league in touchdown or yards per game, yeah. and few interceptions. I'd say he had a pretty good grasp on it. He was coming in with a five-headed monster of Joe Mixon, Dalton Schultz coming off of a huge year, a big year, maybe not huge. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Steph Diggs. And that group, really all the work needed to be done was some chemistry work with Steph Diggs. I would not say that he was having to do more with less. I would say that he had an embarrassment of riches to some degree. You had Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard. The O-line was expected to be really, really good. So, yeah, I would say it's a 180 difference. Had a play caller, by the way, that was coming off of, again, first-year play caller that was coming off of a year where he was on the ones and twos and did big things for Nico Collins and C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell and all these guys. So, yeah, I would say it's significantly different than any year that we've seen.
But I would also say mentally it was different. Like, I don't know when the last time C.J.'s been doubted like this at the quarterback. There's some doubt there, and there is some – and I think CJ understands it. What comes with, you have a lot more power in decision-making and control of the offense. What also comes with that is, well, what is this going to look like? Because others, there's no more passes that are going to be potentially given, right? And then I know he sees what they're saying about Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
He's a competitor now. You heard him in that clip. He sees what they're saying about other young quarterbacks, that he was the guy. He was the one that was last year talked. Going into last year, he was being talked about like he was a top five quarterback. Right? There were people who were picking him to be the MVP. Greg Jennings.
He was Jaden Daniels.
Yes. Better than the guy. People were saying they would take him and he was better than the guy who eventually won the MVP. Josh Allen. That was the cup. So this year, the conversation is now a little bit of cleanup level. I don't know. What is CJ? Is he really this good? Okay, well, maybe it was just all the stuff around him. And now I think there's a little bit more pressure there to where the things that happened last year that he was able to just clap and walk off with the protection breakdowns and things like that, there might be an even bigger challenge to that, to what you're talking about of how is he going to handle that? Like that last year he handled, all right, man, we blew that protection and we blew the TE stunt. They blow that TE stunt for the fourth time in a game this year. Like, how does he handle that? And does that affect him on the field? So I think you hit it there, boy. This is going to be a challenge. And I think we're going to learn a lot from C.J. Stroud this year. A ton from C.J. Stroud. All right, coming up, the Astros, they lost last night, but Spencer Arrighetti had a mixed performance, a really weird line. And that's his first start. Still got some to go. But since they didn't make a move at the deadline in terms of a starting pitcher, after Arrighetti's first start, you're still feeling pretty good about the Astros and their starting pitching. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It feels huge. Stretching Kikuchi tonight.
It's Texans Training Camp. Live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyer Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right there, baby. That Kikuchi stuff. That's kind of stuff gets you. That's kind of
get
stuff
you
gets you awards right there, baby. That's what made us top 20.
Hell yeah!
Stretching
top 20.
Kikuchi tonight.
One vote over 23. Top 20 right there.
Stretching Kikuchi tonight.
Right there, especially when you play it repeatedly. Repeatedly like that, that's what gets you in.
I like to think every time I hit the button, we go up like another spot in the rankings, you know?
So we're like 17 now.
Yeah.
17 on the.
I'm getting us to number one by 6 p.m., baby.
Baby. Pass that up. Yeah. Go to hell. Come on. Spiegel and Holmes, we're coming for your ass.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Valenti, Enrico, we're coming. We're coming for your ass. Oh, that's good. All right. The Astros, they are off today. They lose the finale yesterday to the Marlins, so they win two games on that road trip. Clint, that lead is down to two. Man, this thing seems to be rolling between three and five. It feels like this two is the closest they've been here in a bit, but it does. It seems like the Astros are kind of losing enough to get it down there. But now we're at two games, and I know Seattle is thinking, we got one more series against the Astros, and we just need to be in striking distance, you know, to where if we win the series or we sweep the series, we are in first place. That's got to be the thought process of Seattle if they can close the gap like this. By the way, do you agree with, if you missed it, we had Robert Flores, Rofolo, on with us yesterday. The back half of the 3 o'clock hour, 3:40. So if you missed that, you want to go check that out, you can. He said yesterday he thought this was going to be a three-team race between the Astros, the Mariners, who are two back, and then also the Rangers, who are four and a half back. You agree? You think this is a three-team race?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it's a three-team race. Not because those other two teams scare me. I mean, obviously the Mariners got significantly better, and I think we got several games against both. So it could get interesting, but to me, it's just about the Astros. I mean, how healthy can they get, and how quickly can they get healthy? That's the kicker here. I mean, there's enough injury issues going on right now, and even when guys get back, the Spencer Arrighetti situation, the Lance McCullers situation, when guys do get back, it's gonna be. It can be a little ugly for a while, and so
yeah, they gotta get going.
You just don't have long with those other two teams right there trailing. You know, you need to get whole, and you need to get whole quick, and then those guys need to get up to speed, at least a couple of them, to hold these guys off. It's completely up to the Astros and what I think is their health ultimately.
Yeah. And what we saw last night, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. Spencer Arrighetti, he had an odd line in which he took the loss. They end up losing 6-4. Couldn't come all the way up. Couldn't come all the way back and take him off the hook. He got the loss. But his first start back in 123 days, Clint, 3 2/3 innings, 11 hits, 5 earned runs, 1 walk, 5 Ks, 86 pitches, 16 whiffs. So there were swings and misses, 16 of them, which is a high amount. 4 infield hits. There was an error in there as well from Dubon. 9 singles, Clint, and then a double and a home run. So that's like when you break down the 11 hits, it sounds like you hear 11 hits in 3 2/3 yeah. innings. You're like, what in the hell? Yeah. But 4 infield hits and 9 singles overall. But when you listen to that, and I want you all to jump in, 713-572-416. I see Joel over there on Twitch, YouTube as well. You can jump in. They didn't make a move at the deadline, and some people were a little frustrated by that. Heard they were trying to get Dylan Cease all the way to the end. Oddly enough, they wanted Spencer Arrighetti in the deal, and Dana Brown was like, no. After seeing Arrighetti's first start and then understanding what else is coming from behind potentially in Sugarland, when you watched that, did that make you feel better about the Astros pitching? Did it make you feel better about the starting pitching that they're going to have down the stretch and in the postseason?
No, it did not make me feel better, but it didn't make me feel worse either. I was fine with what we saw out of Spencer Arrighetti. Again, this is a guy that's coming off of a broken hand issue. It's not like it was an elbow or Tommy John or shoulder or back or some kind of, boy, let's see how this major part of the mechanical aspect of throwing a baseball, let's see how this major issue, very sensitive issue responds. I mean, this was a hand. And this is a guy that I expected to come back and do some positive things. And again, I think you laid it out nicely. I think if you're not just watching the box score, if you watch the game, then I think I see where you could not be real impressed. But also, I got to believe that if you're a fan, it's like, okay, we saw him come back. Like the velocity was there, the movement was there. As you mentioned, the off-speed stuff was really, really good. And he was unlucky, if we're being completely honest, and early on with the 4 infield hits and an error. I think I was not moved either way by Spencer Arrighetti's first start. And for me, that's a positive.
Yeah, from the text line coming in, as I said, do you feel any better? Do you feel better about the Astros pitching? They didn't get anyone at the deadline, but you got to see Spencer Arrighetti get in for the first time since April. Do you feel better about what you saw? Kick Rock sounds like a guy that has been out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And Champ Slice obviously didn't really feel bad about the rotation anyway, said they needed a reliever instead of a starter. I'll be honest with you, fellas. I feel good and feel better about the Astros' chances, and I feel a lot better of, all right, Game 3, third starter in a series, even if they piggyback, they'll be fine. Like I feel like unless Spencer Arrighetti has some sort of weird injury again where he's out in the outfield doing something crazy or something freakish again, like I get the feel, Clint, in 2 months when October comes or September gets here in a month, I get the feeling that Spencer Arrighetti is going to be good enough to get you through. Like when we're talking about the playoffs, we're talking, hey man, you give me 5 innings. I love it if you give me 6 or 7. I do. But as our third starter coming behind Hunter Brown and Framber, can you get me 5 innings? 2 runs? Keep me in the game? Can you do that? And I think Spencer Arrighetti will be able to do that to go along with whoever may need to piggyback. When I just saw his stuff yesterday, it made me think, oh, okay, he'll be fine. He will be fine and will be somebody that they can depend on. Hell, the Tigers didn't have 2 starters last year. They were out there with just 1 and bullpenning it up right there. I think by the time we get to October, at the very least, we don't know the others, but yeah, Spencer Arrighetti will be a guy that you can depend on to give you 4. 5 innings.
That's a good point about, given that you've got 48 games or 49 games left, based on what you saw, do you feel good about he's not too far away from being that guy?
No, he wasn't getting rocked, yeah. And he had people swinging and missing.
Yeah.
Which is, that early in, and that to me is a big thing. Like someone said, is Marcus Stroman still out there? I don't think that's something that you know it's hard to trust some guys, certain guys with neck tattoos anyway. But I don't think I don't Cody Rhodes. I don't trust you. I don't think you got to go that route. I think you got a bunch of guys better than Marcus Stroman up here in Sugar Land right now, with Javier Garcia and JP France. But I do. I seeing that it made me feel a lot better about what he could do, especially the 16 swing and misses. All right, let's head to West Virginia. Our guy Sean Pendergast has been at practice. We'll get his practice report. He was obviously there for the tough situation involving C.J. Gardner-Johnson. We'll get his thoughts on that and what else he saw today as we continue Live on the Drive.
Well, Sean, you done stepped off in it. Come on, Sean. Gosh damn it, man.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, they were back in pads today in West Virginia at camp, and it was a day that was going fine until C.J. Gardner-Johnson happened, and nobody better to have than our guy Sean Pendergast, who is giving us and joining us for his practice report live from West Virginia, courtesy of Flight by Yingly. Sean, what was the situation? What everything you saw out there? How that? I know you guys were just getting off of air at the the crosstalk when everything happened with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. From your vantage point, what all occurred for our listeners who maybe haven't heard the details of what happened there?
Okay, I'll give you my exact vantage point. Seth and I were finishing up the show. We had literally just finished talking to Cal McNair and Hannah McNair for like 20 minutes on the show. Awesome conversation. Everybody's laughing. We're having a great time. We go to break, and we went a little late when we were going to come back from break. We were going to do crosstalk right then and there with Reggie and John. And literally as we're finishing up the interview and putting our headsets down, we've noticed that it's totally silent, and literally every player on the practice field, and the practice field was one field over from us, so it's a little far away. Everybody's on a knee. The whole place is silent, and we're like, what's going on? And one of the Texans PR staffers said, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is down. And it went on for a good 5 minutes or so after that where everybody was down. They got him on a cart. I didn't get to see the play, but you guys have seen the reports. Reportedly, he was covering John Metchie on a pass play and was kind of reaching to tackle him, and just, you know, something went wrong on his leg. We don't know what the injury is yet. But I was still at the table we were doing the show from, because I'm literally giving a play-by-play to John and Reggie almost of the cart going over to the Performance Center. When the cart got out in front of the Performance Center, which is just this huge building that butts up next to the field. That's where all the workout rooms and meeting rooms and everything are in there. The part that was the most harrowing to me was CJ needed help getting off the cart, and then he needed two Texans training staff members to help him walk into the building. Like, he couldn't put any weight on the leg. He had an arm draped over the shoulder of two different people helping him in. So the optics of it were just – were really, really bad. I don't know any other way to put it.
Sean, so what is that? I mean, obviously, it's more than likely an injury. It's going to cost him some significant time, if not the season. What does that mean for the Texans? I know you spent some time thinking through, obviously, how do they respond to this? Who takes the spot? What does the defense look like without C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
Yeah, well, there's nobody on the street that you're going to get who's as good as C.J. Gardner-Johnson. There'll probably be a body coming in, I would guess. I think what makes this interesting now, guys, the most interesting wrinkle to this, I think there's two interesting wrinkles. One is Jimmy Ward, you know, and obviously he's got injuries and a legal issue he's dealing with right now. From what I remember, his court date is next week, and it seems like he's optimistic and his lawyer is optimistic that they're going to get vindication from this. D'Amico answering questions about Jimmy Ward seemed to indicate to me that he believes Jimmy Ward when he talks about he knows what type of guy Jimmy Ward is. And Jimmy Ward is around the team. He was out of practice last week working out off to the side, riding a cart with five of his teammates back to the building. So he's around the team the way a normal injured player would be around the team. So it may be that Jimmy Ward's injury situation could be a bigger obstacle than his legal situation by the time this time next week rolls around. Who knows? So that's an interesting name. And then the other one I'm thinking about, too, is Jalen Petrie, who seems to have found a home in that slot corner, hybrid linebacker sort of thing. But he came into the league as a safety. Jalen Petrie, you know, he's better in this role he's in now than he is playing safety. But is he better at safety than the other options they have on the team right now, like MJ Stewart? Jalen Reed's hurt right now, which is too bad. He was having a good camp. Russ Yeast, you know, there's no two ways about it. There's a big drop off after CJ Gardner-Johnson to whoever the next guy is.
Yeah, Sean Pendergast joins us live with his practice report live in West Virginia. Sean, if we move past that, by the way, just judging by reports, I don't know what it was like when you were there. It seemed like it was hard to get practice back rolling again, and maybe it never got the same level of intensity that it had before. It seemed like, I just saw people just stop even tweeting what was happening. It just seemed like it really calmed things down.
Yeah, CJ into the performance center, D'Amico gathered the team around for a good 4 or 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
And I don't, you know, I don't know what exactly was said. Obviously, you know, they were up in the bleachers. They're way off in the middle of the field, but they got into a, you know, gigantic 90-man huddle as a team to talk for a good 5 minutes after the injury. It definitely wasn't one of these things where they scraped the guy up off the field and they're practically, you know, stepping over him to get the next play going. It wasn't anything nearly like that. It was clearly something that, in some way, it affected the team enough for D'Amico to feel like he needed to gather the team up. I, you know, as far as the practice after that, I thought it was, you know, if I had just walked in to practice after that, not knowing C.J. Gardner-Johnson got hurt, it felt like a normal practice to me after that. I may have taken the starch out of some of the folks who were tweeting, and it took the starch out of it for me, for sure. It was a phenomenal week up there in West Virginia, I think both for, you know, for all of us at the station and covering it up there, and for the Texans. They've had a really good week of practice. So it's a big-time bummer to end the week on that note, for sure.
Sean, overall, I haven't heard your response, your 30,000-foot view to practice today. Who won? Who lost? What were your thoughts post-practice, other than the injuries, obviously?
Yeah. I think the offense had another day that looked like some progress. They ran the ball pretty well at times. It's really interesting because they're still totally mixing and matching on the offensive line. Juice Scruggs played center today for the first time in training camp. It was with the twos. It was with Jarrett Patterson next to him at right guard. So, and at times Ed Ingram was playing with the ones at guard. There's still a ton of shifting and moving going on with the offensive line. The mere fact that Juice Scruggs played center for the first time, whether it was the ones, twos, or threes, the fact that he's playing center for the first time tells me that they're not sold on either of the guys that are playing center yet, because Jake Andrews and Jarrett Patterson have had plenty of snaps to separate themselves. And now Juice Scruggs is in there today. So there's still a lot of mixing and matching on the offensive line going on. There was no Nick Chubb today. We know Joe Mixon is out. Damian Pierce did the walkthrough yesterday. He was in street clothes today. So they were running with, like, Daria Gumbawale was getting the like, not just third down back carries. He was getting first and 10 handoffs as the back and actually had some nice runs. Like, the blocking was better today. I thought overall the offense had a decent day. I thought CJ had a pretty good day. I know there were people tracking his completion percentage online and things like that. He threw the ball pretty well today. He sailed a ball to Dalton Schultz in the end zone that I think he would normally make. Threw a beauty of a ball to Nico Collins in the end zone that Nico just dropped. That was weird.
Yeah.
But they started the day. It was all scrimmaging, so the whole thing was situational. The ones started the day with a nice field goal drive. They finished the day with a situational touchdown. They were down 5 with 20 seconds to go at about the 25-yard line, and CJ worked him down there and hit Nico Collins for a touchdown to end the practice. So I'm not going to say the offense like clearly won the day, but if we're grading on a curve, this was a good day for the offense.
And speaking of that, we've heard a good day for the offense, and we heard maybe the star and the guy who had the best day was Xavier Hutchinson. He's somebody that we talked about earlier. It seems like a lot of times they're finding ways of like, all right, is he going to make it? What guys are better than him? And he seems to always turn it on at the perfect time. And it seems like up in West Virginia, he's had a pretty good week.
He had a great day today. I mean, he was definitely the star of the show. The same way Jaden Higgins was the star of the show on Tuesday in padded practice, where he just had three beautiful downfield contested catches. I mean, unbelievable. But Jaden Higgins, we know, is going to make the team. Xavier Hutchinson made a big statement today. He had two touchdowns. They weren't chintzy, chippy ones either. They were, 30-yard, over the middle, getting it into the end zone. He had those two touchdowns and another big play down the field. So that's a battle. There's no two ways about it. Barring injury, the math is going to catch up with that position. There's four guys that we know are going to make the team, and there's four other guys who are all having good camps who are vying for probably two more spots. Maybe another guy makes it as a return guy, kind of like they did with Steven Sims last year. But there's going to be an odd man out, at least one and probably two. And Hutchinson did his best to make sure today that he's not one of those guys.
Well, what do you think we see Saturday with the Texans, Sean, from a who plays, who doesn't play, how long will they play? What do you expect?
Obviously in the second half, we're going to see just a ton of the guys that are trying to make the practice squad and make the back end of the roster. I mean, the interesting thing, I think what you're asking about, obviously, Clint, is do we see the ones in this thing? I don't know. I don't need to see – there's certain guys I don't need to see. Like, defensively, I don't need to see Will Anderson. I don't need to see Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter until week one in Los Angeles, if we're being honest. Those guys, and Will especially, look completely dialed in. There's nothing that preseason snaps are going to do for those guys that they're not already doing to their own teammates or that joint practices can't do for them. I would like to see the first string offense get a couple series only because they need it. we're still in the infancy stages of installing this offense, putting in an offensive line. There's not a single offensive lineman except for maybe Titus Howard that you can sit in this game just based on merit or tenure or anything like that. These guys all have to play. I mean, it's American Idol right now along the offensive line. I wouldn't mind seeing CJ get a couple series. And even if he doesn't cut it loose and throw the football, I would just like to see him get in there because just to handle the operation. That's a big thing with him getting to the line of scrimmage, having that control, getting in and out of the huddle quickly. Even just 8 or 10 chances just to make sure that everybody's lined up with 20 seconds still left on the play clock would be beneficial to CJ, I think.
All right, Sean, that feels like it's a good landing spot right there, Sean.
You're with us, Sean?
A good landing spot.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you cut out for a second.
That's all right. No, that's all right, okay. Man. Man, a tough day. And really, as you said, man, it's been a great week out there. With the exception of the injury to C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Yeah. We appreciate you stopping by and giving us that real good info, Sean. We do appreciate it.
Hang on. Was that the hotkey, or was that
– Oh, that was me.
Really you.
I beat it to the hotkeys. Thank you so much for stopping by and giving us that great info, Sean.
That's a hotkey. I know that cadence anywhere.
Such great inflection.
That one's been tuned up a bit.
Yeah.
That is nice.
Be safe. Be safe. Enjoy your time in Charlotte for whatever you're doing. And
I'm on my way to Charlotte right now. I'm on the highway in the mountains. That's why you lost me for a little bit.
There you go. All right, Sean. We appreciate you. We'll see you. We'll see you around.
All right. Appreciate you, fellas.
All right. That's Sean Pendergast joining us for his practice report live from West Virginia, courtesy of Flight by Yingling. What you got coming up?
I want to put a bow on that practice report, Ron. There's four things that I think come out of practice today and maybe kind of over the last handful of days that I think it's worth discussing before we see the Texans on Saturday versus the Vikings. I got four quick takeaways from today. We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.